Hush flowers always bloomed when the night was longest. The whole city celebrated the day the bundle of petals peeled apart into rich red. Partly because hush flowers were the nation's lifeblood, and partly, Akos thought, to keep them all from going crazy in the cold. That evening, on the day of the blooming ritual, he was sweating into his coat as he waited for the rest of the family to be ready. So he went out to the courtyard to cool off. The Kariseth house was built in a circle around a furnace. All the outermost and innermost walls curved, for luck, supposedly. Frozen air stung his eyes when he opened the door. He yanked his goggles down, and the heat from his skin fogged up the glass right away. He fumbled for the metal poker with his gloved hand and stuck it under the furnace hood. The burnstones under it just looked like black lumps before friction lit them, and then they sparked in different colors, depending on what they were dusted with. The burnstones scraped together and lit up bright red as blood. They weren't out here to warm anything or light anything. They were just supposed to be a reminder of the current, as if the hum in Akos's body wasn't enough of a reminder. The current flowed through every living thing and showed itself in the sky in all different colors. Like the burnstones, like the lights of the floaters that zoomed overhead on their way to town proper. Off-worlders who thought their planet was blank with snow had never actually set foot on it. Akos's older brother, Aija, poked his head out. "Eager to freeze, are you? Come on, Mom's nearly ready." It always took their mom longer to get ready when they were going to the temple. After all, she was the oracle. Everybody would be staring right at her. Akos put the poker down and stepped inside, popping the goggles off his eyes and pulling his face shield down to his throat. His dad and his older sister, Sisi, were standing by the front door, stuffed into their warmest coats. They were all made of the same material, kutya fur, which didn't take dye, so it was always white-gray and hooded. "All right then, Akos?" "Good." His mom was fastening her own coat closed. She eyed their dad's old boots. "Somewhere out there, your father's ashes are collectively shuddering at how dirty your shoes are, Ausa." "I know. That's why I fussed about dirtying them up," their dad said with a grin at their mom.
"Good,"
she said. Almost chirped it, in fact.
"I like them this way."
"You like anything my father didn't like."
"That's because he didn't like anything."
"Can we get into the floater while it's still warm?" I just said, a little bit of a whine in his voice. "Or he's waiting for us by the memorial."
Their mom finished with her coat and put on her face shield. Down the heated front walk they bobbed, all fur and goggle and mitten. A squat, round ship waited for them, hovering at knee height just above the snowbank. The door opened at their mom's touch and they piled in. Sisi and Aija had to yank Akos in by both arms because he was too small to climb on his own. Nobody bothered with safety belts.
"To the temple!" their dad cried, his fist in the air. He always said that when they went to the temple, sort of like cheering for a boring lecture or a long line on voting day.
If only we could bottle that excitement and sell it to all of Thuva. Most of them I see just once a year, and then only because there's food and drink waiting for them. Their mom drawled with a faint smile.
"There's your solution then," I just said. "Entice them with food all season long."
"The wisdom of children," their mom said, poking the ignition button with her thumb. The floater jerked them up and forward, so they all fell into each other. Aija punched Akos away from him, laughing. The lights of Hesse twinkled up ahead. Their city wrapped around a hill, the military base at the bottom, the temple at the top, and all the other buildings in between. The temple, where they were headed, was a big stone structure with a dome made of hundreds of panes of colored glass right in the middle of it. When the sun shone on it, Hesse's peak glowed orange-red, which meant it almost never glowed.